Welcome in to the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast presented by Geico. This is the CSS DFS Podcast. I am Daniel Dopp. To my left, in studio with me is Mike Clay. Hello, Michael.
Hello. How are you doing today, Daniel Dopp?
I am doing great. Thank you for asking. This is the second podcast Mike and I are doing together, as is the usual on Thursdays. You did a pretty good job the first podcast.
I hope it was pretty good. I can tell there's some hesitation there.
It was like a B, maybe a B plus.
Okay, all right. Yeah. I'll try to do a little better on this
fine.
One. Yeah. All right, no pressure.
And then Al Zeidenfeld joining us all the way from Southern California. Al, what's up, buddy?
I'm doing good. I'm good. I'm trying to get a solid B, not falling behind, not showing off.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I understand
We're going to try to get A-plus lineups together on this. See what I did there?
I see exactly what you did. Let's talk about some A-plus lineups, because last week, Mike Clay, you unfortunately defeated me in our showdown. You had 166.5 points. I had 147 because all of my running backs got hurt.
I think we both had Justin Jackson in those lineups.
We did.
Took zeros.
And I had David Johnson.
Put together decent. And you had David Johnson, too. Yeah. I had him in a lot of my tournament lineups.
And James Conner, who got 4 points. Did you know that my three running backs got me 4.6 points on DraftKings?
Seems bad. Well, there's always next week.
Shout out to CT Ritt 03, 212.6, bringing home the win last week. Congratulations. He or she won our free weekly contest. Unlimited participants, free to enter, $200 in weekly prizes. Please join. It's a ton of fun. You to play against Mike and I. You know what? It's just a blast. It really is a good time.
Yeah. So it's free and you can get $200. I mean, you can't get all of the $200, but you can get a part of the
$200. You can get a part of the $200.
Putting together a good lineup. So
Exactly.
What do you have to lose? Nothing.
All right, let's jump into it this week because, man, oh, man, am I excited to talk about this slate.
Oh, yeah.
Mike, I want to start with you and Justin Herbert. We're going to jump right in at quarterback, $6,600, taking on the Miami Dolphins in Miami. Justin Herbert has just been on fuego these last couple of weeks. Is that going to continue here this week?
I think so. And look, there's quarterbacks and players really at every position that we seem to talk about every week for a while. And then their price finally gets to where it should be. And then they disappear. Like, for example, we're not talking about Kyler Murray today because we hammered him home for a month and he kept paying off. And I think that's going to happen with Justin Herbert at some point, right? But not yet. He's $6,600 here at Miami, the sixth highest priced quarterback. Look, he's been top 10 in five straight weeks, a quarterback. He's averaging just under 25 fantasy points per game during that span. That's unprecedented for a rookie quarterback, especially when it's not just lighting it up with their legs. He has 264-plus passing yards in all seven games. He has 2-plus touchdowns in five straight. Think about that floor that he's giving you in fantasy. And by the way, during his seven active weeks this season, he's the fifth highest scoring quarterback. He's fourth in yards and fifth in rushing yards. So he's still at least getting you something in the rushing yardage department. A pretty good number as well. Maybe not Kyler Murray level, but still pretty good. And then, the matchup. He's playing Miami. I know they played pretty well defensively, but they're mid-pack against quarterbacks in fantasy. And they've given up big games to Cam Newton, Josh Allen, Russell Wilson, and Kyler Murray. And Herbert's right with them in terms of how he's producing. So I think it's a game where he could still put together a pretty darn good game here against this Miami team.
Love that. Love to hear that. Fingers crossed, because I am also in on Justin Herbert this week. But Al, from a tournament perspective, I can only imagine that Jared Goff taking on Seattle, it's like, what quarterback is facing the Seahawks this week? Let's see if we can plug him into our lineup.
That's really all the analysis that you actually need.
Oh, just I'm sorry. I didn't mean to take all that from you.
No, I like what you did there because, look, we got to speak to a really broad audience, right? And it's like, I can get as mathy as you want on this one and give you stats and facts and figures and to the hundredth behind the decimal and everything and tell you, like, you know, Seattle's allowing opponents to complete 74.4% of red zone passes, which is the third highest in the league.
Are you making fun of me right now? Is
that, I think so.
No, like I'm just saying, I've got all of these.
I like that tone.
I don't like that tone, Al. You like my Clay impression? Was that solid?
I don't like the tone, but I like the stats.
We got an East Coast, West Coast rivalry going on here now.
I think so.
Look, the Rams early in the season were running the ball a ton. And in the last month, they've passed 63% of the time. It's the fifth highest in the league. That was like 53% over the first 5 weeks, which was 25th in the league. So not only are they passing it more recently, they're facing a team that can't stop teams from passing the ball. We saw last week the Bills just basically completely abandoned the running game and said, well, the easiest path, the path of least resistance is throwing against this Seattle defense. Every week this season, they've allowed a multiple pass touchdown or a 300-yard game to an opposing quarterback. So as Daniel said, just play the passing game and stack against the Seahawks and then bring it back with one of their all world wide receivers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like pretty good advice. It's not.
Yeah, love it. Terrific play. And I think a lot of people are going to stack that game, and as they should.
So we've talked about two quarterbacks here, both 65 and 6,600, and they're a little bit more expensive on the slate. But if we want to look at some cheaper quarterbacks, guys, under that 6K price point, Mike, give me a couple other options here that you like.
And there are a lot this week. There are a lot of interesting ones, which is, I know Al likes a few too. The guy I'm looking at, though, is Joe Burrow, who stands out as... Yeah, I know. And he stands out as a great value because he's 5,700, and he's playing Pittsburgh, right? So this is one of them situations where the slate matters, like the type of game you're playing. Because if you're in a tournament, you're not interested, right? I mean, you've had a ton of volume from Joe Burrow. He's coming off the bye, and he's near the top in every passing category. We talked about this in the earlier podcast. He's coming off a pair of top 10 fantasy weeks, right? So he's been delivering. But this is where it's interesting. The Steelers have allowed 15-plus fantasy points in 7 of their 8 games. So that's a pretty decent floor, right? Especially at this price point here. They've allowed 2 or more passing touchdowns in all but 2 of their games. But here's where the problem comes in. They've allowed no more than 18 fantasy points in a single game. So good floor, bad ceiling. You can't use them in a tournament, but maybe in cash at that price point, you can fire them up and still be able to spend quite a bit of money elsewhere.
Interesting. Love the strategy behind that idea and understanding how you need to play him and which kind of games you need to play him in, which is really smart there. Al, I want to talk to you about a couple other quarterbacks because I know you've got a few teed up that you want to talk about real quick before we move on to running backs.
Yeah, so Carson Wentz, 30.8 DraftKings points in the first time that he played the New York Giants, and obviously his pass catchers getting healthy again. So he's still got the ascension of Fulgham, but he's also got Jalen Reagor coming, who's now finally back to almost full strength. He's got Goddard, who's there, possibly Miles Sanders back. So all of the weapons around him in this game. Also, it might be Tua time. He's still entirely cheap, and with Preston Williams out, now we have a stack or a double stack. Parker's only 5K. Jakeem Grant is only 3K. So when I'm looking at these cheap quarterbacks, usually I think that they're really good cash game plays because of the small band of scoring for quarterbacks from the high end to the mid-range. This week, based on the way that standard roster construction is going to go in 50-50s, head-to-heads, you're probably going to be able to pay up at quarterback because there's so much value out there at the other positions that we'll get to shortly. But when I start thinking about these cheap quarterbacks, it's about what can I put with them? What pass catchers can I put with them? And there's a lot of value to do that with, as well as who are they playing and what can we get on the other side for tournaments? So you're going to be able to do whatever you want this week because of the value that we're going to talk about at running back and wide receiver. So the cheap quarterbacks are just a path to get those really superstar studs in your lineup, and I think you'll be able to do it.
Heck yeah, love that. A couple of the quarterbacks here, not as cheap. Josh Allen against the Cardinals. Possible we have a Kyler Murray, Josh Allen shootout here. So just a game to keep in mind and sort of look at as you're building your roster. And then Deshaun Watson taking on the Browns. $6,900 falls just below that $7,000 price point. Seems like another quarterback that could fit real well here.
Yeah, the stacking possibilities are fun there too. If you're talking Watson and Cooks and Fuller, who are both top 15 fantasy receivers over the past month. And then on the other side, you have lots of options with Nick Chubb back and Landry and maybe Austin Hooper. I don't know if you want to go that direction in a tournament stack, but lots of Kareem Hunt, of course, lots of options.
A lot of options. Do you own or rent your home?
Yep.
Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work, isn't it?
It is.
You know what's easy though?
I'd like to know.
Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Remember last year or 2 years ago when you came over to my house and you helped me cut down that tree that fell in my backyard?
That was fun. I mean, man, fun.
It was fun.
It was fun.
If only I had Geico back then. Go to geico.com, get a quote and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com. That's geico.com today.
Thank you, Geico.
All right, let's move on to our running backs where Mike, Aaron Jones, $7,100, takes it on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Feels like a really great place to be able to spend up on running backs because as we get into this conversation, we're going to see a couple of value plays here. So let's talk Aaron Jones and these higher priced running backs first.
Yeah, think about how good Aaron Jones has been this season. He's the number 3 scoring running back during his 5 active weeks. He's only 7,100, and I mean, there were times last year we were talking about Christian McCaffrey around 10,000. He was 10,000. Yes. I mean, that's a pretty sizable amount of difference right there in pricing. Now, I'm not saying he's been quite as dominant as McCaffrey, but he's been very good, and you can get him at 7,100. So, just giving you some perspective, he is the second highest priced wide running back on the slate, but the price is still very good for a, and I know Al will love this, a high volume favored running back playing at home in this game. He's averaging 15 carries and 5.2 targets per game. If they're ahead in this game, he could certainly push for 20 plus carries for sure. And it's a great matchup. Jacksonville, sixth most fantasy points allowed to running backs. They're top 10 in touches, yards, touchdowns. They've allowed 10 of those. They've allowed huge games to the Colts, Bengals, and Lions. Running backs, otherwise they've been pretty solid other than that, but you know, we've seen it. We've seen that that those situations where they kind of fall apart and allow them huge games. And if anybody's going to do it in week 10, Aaron Jones is certainly on the short list.
Okay. Love that. Al, I want to talk to you about Mike Davis, because it just seems obvious that with CMC coming off of the slate this week, a $4,000 Mike Davis taking on Tampa Bay at home. Is he a player here that you need to have, regardless if it's cash or if it's tournament? You just need to put him in your lineups and just deal with it.
I mean, it's a massive misprice on a player. So with CMC coming back last week, obviously Mike Davis goes back to that RB2 role on the team. And so they, for whatever reason, dropped his price. Now, if you look at the early slate as opposed to the main slate, they didn't release that as early on Sunday night as they did with the early slate. So that one, he's priced appropriately in like the mid 6K range, where now you have to make a decision. So knowing that he is over 2,000 underpriced on this slate, we know that Tampa Bay is a tough defense to run against, but they've allowed the fifth most receptions to opposing running backs on the season with 6.5 per game. So if you're telling me that Mike Davis, who has shown proficiency in the passing game, he was called, 90% CMC in the first few games. He had three disappointing games, the last three that he played without McCaffrey there. So that is an option. There is a floor here. But for your cash games, he opens up way too much. If he gets 6 catches against this team for 50 yards, that's 11 points. Without considering any touchdown expectation, without any rushing yards at all, he is essentially paying off this salary if he just does what average running backs do against the Bucs. It's a free square in cash games. Yes, there is some game theory stuff that you can get into and say, well, if 40% of the field's going to be on him in tournaments and he only gets me like 10 points, then I can do better with that somewhere else. I understand that. And GPPs, you can do whatever you want. But in cash games, he needs to be in your lineup.
Okay, love that. Want to quickly talk also about the Washington running backs taking on the Detroit Lions, because if there's one thing that we all know, specifically me, it is that the Detroit Lions have a bad defense against running backs. So I look at both Antonio Gibson and J.D. McKissick here, $4,900 for McKissick, $5,600 for Gibson. It's not just about whether or not they're going to play well and do well against Detroit, but with their price points here, Mike, are the guys that you need to find a way to get into your lineup?
Yeah, right now, assuming Antonio Gibson plays, keep in mind he's on the injury report, but if he does go, which is the expectation at this point, he is a great value at $5,600. I talked him up. He was my guy a few weeks ago when he had his last good matchup, and he went off in that one. So definitely going to pound the table again this week. J.D. McKissick at $4,900 is okay. I think he's a kind of a mid-range value. But look, Gibson has a touchdown in five of his past 7 games. He's averaging a little over 14 fantasy points per game during that span. Now, last week, people are going to be scared off, and maybe that's another reason to go back to the well here in tournaments, because he only had 6 carries, but he had a 67% share. That's his second highest rate of the season. They just were behind against the Giants, right? Yeah. They decided to attack with the pass. They didn't run the ball. Believe it or not, and this actually surprised me, he's 24th at running back in carries, which sounds about right. He's 19th in catches too, which is more. He's actually higher in the reception department among running backs, which is a little surprising to me. So even though McKissick's the pass catcher, he's still involved enough, seeing 4 or 5 targets a game most weeks, that he's ended up 19th in catches. Not to mention Alex Smith is under center. He's dumping it off way more than most quarterbacks will do that. I won't get too into J.D. McKissick, but 7-plus targets, 4 of his past 5 games, he's given you a pretty high floor in PPR, but doesn't carry the ball much. And then really quickly on the matchup, yes, the Lions have allowed the most fantasy points to running backs this season. You might want to close your ears. Top 3 in rushes, rushing yards, rushing touchdowns, yards per carry, a little over 5 per attempt. Also the 4th most receiving yards, the highest yards per target. So think about that. The top 3 in yards per carry allowed to running backs, and also the highest yards per target allowed to running backs. They just can't stop that position.
Nope.
No matter what those guys are doing. First in scrimmage yards and touchdowns. 44-plus fantasy points allowed to 4 different running back units. I mean, I can go on and on. It has been very poor. So just a great matchup here for Washington running backs.
You know, if only Gibson just did a little bit more as a pass catcher in college. He didn't really catch the ball a lot in college, right, guys?
He wasn't like a wide receiver or anything.
Yeah, like that wasn't like a thing. I don't know why J.D. McKissick is the pass catching back.
I tweeted this yesterday, and over that, I think it's, what was this? I think over the past 3 weeks or 4 weeks, J.D. McKissick has six fewer targets than Terry McLaurin. Like, that's unacceptable. And look, McLaurin's getting plenty of targets. That's not the point. He's, you know, they're getting him the ball. McKissick should not be that close. I mean, this is like, he was on the Lions. You know, this is what a revenge.
He's been a backup for a bunch of different teams.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man. He's been a, like a third string. And I don't want to disrespect the guy at all, but I mean, that's not the way to maximize an offense. Like, he's averaging like a yard per target less than league average. So it's not like he's lighting it up by any means. It's just not a good plan for that Washington offense right now.
Let's talk a few other players here on the other side of that. DeAndre Swift, Mike, do you think that we've seen enough from DeAndre Swift at this point that we can trust him, understanding that AP still definitely has a share in that running back committee?
Yeah, I still like him a lot. I think people are probably a little nervous with him, but you know, we said he would bounce back last week, and he did. A fluky game.
Yep.
It's kind of like what we just talked about with Gibson, where it was kind of a fluky game, a low-volume game. He would get back on track as the usage was there, and he certainly did last week. I still like him. I'm going to have him in plenty of lineups this week.
So really quickly, there's a bunch of running backs here that I want to mention, and they all kind of have storylines around them that you're going to have to continue to monitor. You're not just going to be able to listen to this and walk away. But Duke Johnson, if David Johnson doesn't play, we love him this week against Cleveland. You have Miles Sanders coming back from injury going up against the Giants. We really like him. Kenyon Drake trying to figure that out with Chase Edmonds, $4,900. Got to monitor that situation. Same with Gio Bernard. If Joe Mixon, for some reason, doesn't play, Gio Bernard looks great on this slate. Boston Scott, if Miles Sanders doesn't play, you've got the Seahawks running backs and both Travis Homer and Carlos Hyde. I mean, there are so many running backs here that, based on what we're talking about now, we still have a lot of injury chips that need to fall so we can see who is going to be playing this week. So, Al, I kind of want to throw it to you from that perspective and just kind of jump in and say, how is it that you're going to break this down, and especially given, you know, tournament aspects, which is what you're looking at, which of these running backs, if they were to get out there and play a full gamut of snaps on Sunday, let's say Duke Johnson gets 20 snaps under center, not under center, 20 snaps at running back, is he somebody that you absolutely have to find a way to get into your tournament lineup?
I mean, if Duke Johnson plays quarterback, yes.
Yes. Yes.
Last week with David Johnson leaving that game early, he touched the ball 20 times. Obviously, he's going to be involved in the passing game. He got the inside the five carries. He touched the ball 16 times on handoffs. He's not going to be like a 5-6 yards a rip guy on handoffs, though he has been very elusive in his career at making guys miss. But like at 5K, you get a path to 20 touches. I think that DeAndre Swift would be my second favorite guy in there just because of the fact that he's not going to get over 35% of the or 40% of the snaps for Detroit. But when he's out there, they're giving him the ball. Like anytime he's on the field, he gets to touch the ball, which is a great thing, even though he's playing limited snaps. The volume has been solid. And with the big playability that he has, I think that he would be my second favorite of that group.
Okay.
Yeah, it's interesting. I will say one thing on Duke Johnson. They only had Buddy Howell last week as their other back, so that's why it was just Duke Johnson. Sometimes you'll see that happen in an emergency situation where
who's
the guy...
Buddy Howell?
That is the third-string running back on the Texans, just so you know now.
All right, cool.
But sometimes you'll see that in an emergency situation, the guy will just play every snap. And I think we saw that with Deion Lewis earlier this season with the Giants when Barkley went down. But then the next week, they'll call somebody up from the practice squad and share it. So Scotty Phillips, CJ Prosise played some offensive snaps. Those guys could be in the mix for 6 to 8 touches. Still like Duke Johnson, but don't assume he's going to play 85% of the snaps again. It's just not going to happen.
Okay. Let's move on to some wide receivers because I think there's some really interesting conversations to be able to have here this week. Obviously, we have talked about the Rams-Seahawks, which seems like it could be a shootout, a super fun game to watch just in general. But when you talk about DFS, Mike, I got to be thinking that either Cooper Kupp or Robert Woods are the wide receivers in cash games that you want in your lineup. But you want to go a different direction and have us look at Josh Reynolds here this week.
I do. He's 3,500. Robert Woods is 6,600. Cooper Kupp is 6,900. I mean, that's a huge price gap.
Huge.
It's about half the price of Cooper Kupp. So, but why should he be on your radar? Well, look, early in the season, he wasn't playing very much, right? They seemed to like Van Jefferson. He had a good camp. We saw him on Hard Knocks, and he looked good. They mixed him around. They kind of rotated those two guys, and then it just became clear Reynolds was the better player right now. He's second on the Rams with 18 targets over the past 2 weeks since they've committed to him as that number three receiver. He has touchdowns against Chicago and San Francisco over the past 3 weeks. They've kind of had some tough a tough schedule, and he's still been delivering the goods in fantasy. Again, the price difference is very significant here. And he's, again, facing the Seahawks. They can allow multiple receivers to have big games. They're allowing 60 fantasy points per game to wide receivers this season. 60 fantasy points per game just to wide receivers.
Wow.
22 catches a game. Yeah. 22 catches per game on average, 280 yards per game. The most fantasy points, targets, catches, receiving yards, the third most touchdowns. They cannot stop that position week in and week out. And we know the Seahawks are pass heavy and going to keep scoring, and teams are going to have to play catch up. So, and by the way, Al mentioned it earlier, the Rams are throwing the ball now, right? They were very run heavy early on. That has changed. So really a lot to like here with all of these guys. Don't get me wrong. Reynolds, Woods, Kupp, all fine plays. Mix and match how you want. Even Gerald Everett's at 3,100 at tight end. Mix and match these guys however you want.
So I want to, and I know we're going to talk about Seattle wide receivers here in a second, but Al, I want to talk to you as well about if I'm going to do a stack here. Let's say I like Jared Goff and I'm going to go all in. And I'm going to use Josh Reynolds, like Mike just pointed out, all the reasons why inexpensive wide receiver that could absolutely outplay the projections that he's going to have. Is there another wide receiver here that you like from this team? Do you prefer Woods over Kupp, or is that not a situation where like would you want to stack the other side of it and look more at Seattle wide receivers?
I'm leaning towards Kupp here because, I mean, look, we could point at anything for Seattle and say, well, Seattle's really bad against wide receivers. They're bad against outside wide receivers. They're bad against inside. But he plays a lot in the slot, 23.3% of the time. And when he plays in the slot, he gets like a 30% target share, 29.1. I rounded up. Apologies.
Sure.
Seattle has allowed more receiving yards to slot receivers than any other team in the league, but they've allowed more yards to every receiver than any team in the league. I know that Robert Woods has been the guy who has scored more touchdowns, and Cooper Kupp historically has scored more touchdowns than Robert Woods, but touchdowns are very fluky. They are a little bit more unpredictable. Unless you have a lot of end zone targets. So that's really where Cooper Kupp tends to shine. I like that we have a condensed target tree. I don't mind double stacking Goff in this situation because of how much the tight ends block. So playing two of those three wide receivers in a stack with Goff and bringing it back with one of the Seattle wide receivers, pick your poison between Lockett or DK Metcalf, I think gives yourself a chance or a path to a really high ceiling to capture all the upside in this game.
If I was going to pick a Seattle wide receiver, I personally I would love to know specifically which one you think is going to score more points. Can you just tell me definitively which one I should play this week?
Do you have a coin I could borrow? I would need to flip
David
something.
Moore. Freddie Swain.
Yes.
Freddie Swain.
Are you pulling more DK or more Tyler this week?
Honestly, I think that the smart way to go, I mean, a lot of people are going to, I think, play Lockett because he's cheaper. Mm-hmm. And I think that people are going to avoid Metcalf because of the presence of Ramsey on the Rams. So for me, I'm going to play the one with the less percent more than the one with the higher percent that's projected for tournaments. And right now, that looks like Metcalf is going to be the lower played guy, less popular guy.
Sure.
Yeah, and that's interesting because I was getting, and look, I talked all last week about how Lockett had the better matchup than Metcalf in that game. And by the time it was Saturday evening, Sunday morning, and I'm setting lineups, I'm like, I was being pulled to Metcalf just by, you could tell everyone was going Lockett. You know, everyone was. And that's important in tournaments. It doesn't matter in cash, you know, just play the guy you think's in the best shape. But, you know, even in cash, Lockett had a down game. But you got to think about that. You got to stay on top of it. And we try to talk about those trends here. And I think that's going to happen this week because the Rams are very, very, very dominant against receivers, especially on the perimeter. And that scares you off Metcalf more than it does Lockett for sure. So it's a situation to monitor. Don't be afraid to find ways to use both if you set multiple lineups.
Yeah. Hopefully you can set multiple lineups because there's a lot of different combinations just with this game alone that you could build an entire roster around. So I would really quickly want to talk about the best value we feel like we have from these Pittsburgh wide receivers, because just like we say every single week, how is it that you break down deciding between Deontay Johnson, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Chase Claypool, Mike Clay?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you look at targets over the past three games since all three have been back and healthy. I think Johnson missed a few snaps in there, but otherwise, Juju Smith-Schuster has 30, Johnson has 27, Chase Claypool has 23. But look at the pricing here. You have Juju 6,100, DJ is 5,200, Chase is 5,800. So it's tough to sort through. We don't know really in a given week. My preference, and certainly if you look at my season-long rankings for this week, I have Claypool highest. I think that Ben likes him the most, and they're all three of them are playing as top three receivers. They're all heavily involved in the passing game. It's not like one guy is chilling on the sideline for a huge chunk of the game. They're all playing now. So I don't think there's a right answer here. I think it just depends who you could fit into your lineup and try to get exposure to several of them. Johnson is the cheapest. He's probably going to be your best cash option to kind of fill out a lineup because it was going to cost you the least. But I don't think any of these are overpriced, and Claypool at 5,800 is certainly attractive.
Al, do you have anything you want to weigh in here before we move on?
I saw footage of the wide receiver room for Pittsburgh from past week. It was very underground stuff that you had to really dig for. And Chase Claypool walked in and said, "Look at me. I'm the captain now." I'm going with Chase Claypool.
Are you? Okay. I like it.
Wow. He's the lead dog footage, right now.
I love it. I love the definitive takes from
you
Al.
You got to dig. You got to really dig.
That's what I'm here for. A couple of the guys we want to mention, Brandon Cooks at Cleveland. We talked about if you want to match somebody up with Deshaun there. Keenan Allen taking on Miami.
Every week.
So excited that Keenan Allen, like, just, and I want to pause here. I was so bummed at the start of the season when Keenan Allen was not the Keenan Allen that we had known with him under Phillip Rivers. It just was not, you know, the first couple weeks was a big struggle. And now seeing him with Justin Herbert is like, yes, this is what I want you to be, man. You are fantastic.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'm a little nervous about the matchup because we did see Byron Jones shadow Stephon Diggs until he got hurt earlier this season. I'm wondering if they'll get creative and put Howard on Mike Williams and put Jones on Keenan Allen inside, though Howard has been playing much better than Jones. So something to think about, you know, maybe knock your exposure down a little bit. Again, if you play a lot of lineups, maybe avoid overloading on Keenan Allen. But, you know, at the same time, the volume's been great.
Heck yeah. Speaking of volume, that's been great. How about Devontae Adams taking on the Jaguars?
Still a value. He's super high price.
Super high price.
Doesn't matter.
Terry McLaurin taking on the Lions, as we talked about, definitely should be in your lineup. Sterling Shepard taking on Philly, Stephon Diggs, Jakeem Grant, DJ Moore, a bunch of guys here that you could look at that we all feel like if you're looking for ways to be able to find guys in your lineup, any one of those guys we mentioned, hopefully we'll find a price point that you could help massage into your lineup there.
Yep, you got it. Could not have said it better. Moore actually jumped on this list with McCaffrey out because you think more targets kind of get distributed to
more
wide
targets?
Receivers here.
You said more targets get distributed. DJ Moore, more targets.
DJ Moore?
Guys, come on.
Oh, yeah. Jeez, see, Mike. I'm not that clever.
You're like the king of dad jokes. I feel like that was right up your alley.
I'm working now. My
wow.
Friend.
Speaking of working, how about you do this live read for us then?
All right. I will do that. ESPNU Radio on SiriusXM is where you need to be if you live and breathe college football. We're talking live games, the latest rankings, conference, and team news. Analysis from experts like Mark Packer, Greg McElroy, and EJ Manuel, all leading up to championship specials and more. Take SiriusXM with you and always have the latest college football info you need. Listen right now on the SiriusXM app or online at SiriusXM.com/listen ESPNU.
I'll tell you what, a bowl of guacamole couldn't have done it as well as you just did right there. I'm just saying.
Look, I'm. It's almost lunchtime. I'm getting hungry, so enough food talk
you and me
for
both.
A few more minutes.
Let's talk about some tight ends because the top tight end on the slate this week with Travis Kelce on a bye, George Kittle being hurt, is Darren Waller, $5,900, taking on the Broncos. Mike, understanding he's the highest priced tight end, but the highest priced tight end is still $5,900. Mm-hmm. Is this like you got to find a way to get him in your lineup?
Yeah, Waller the baller. I just made that up.
Did you? Good for you, man.
Yeah, not Matthew Berry.
No, never heard of that guy.
So homie. $5,900, like you said. Look, I have him projected for 6 more points than any other tight end, and that just doesn't happen to have that gap, to see that gap between a number one and a number two player at a position. So he's still a tremendous value at this price point. He's only $800 more than the number two price tight end, who is TJ Hockenson. It's just not wide enough gap to be scared off of paying up for Darren Waller. He's second at tight end in targets, catches, fantasy points. He's fourth in yards. As we talked about in the earlier podcast today, he has 4 touchdowns already. That puts him on pace for around 8. He had 3 all of last season. So yeah, he's even picked that up. He's added that to his arsenal this year, scoring touchdowns. And the Broncos have struggled with efficiency against tight ends, so the matchup here is fine for Darren Waller.
Okay. Al, I want to talk to you about Evan Engram taking on Philly at home, $4,500. Mm-hmm. And it does kind of feel like, we talked about this yesterday, we have a lot of tight ends that in season long we would want to start. TJ Hockenson, Noah Fant, some of those guys. But the price points just don't really fit quite as well as we would like for a DFS slate. So Evan Engram, $4,500, even though we've seen an up-and-down Evan Engram this year. Al, I want to know why you like him here this week against the Eagles.
Well, he's been up for 3 straight weeks with 29 targets over that span. So
love
the
that.
Giants definitely throwing the ball to him. And Mike might want to go to little earmuffs here, but like the Eagles have been really bad at defending the tight end. They've allowed a 125.1 pass rating when opponents have attacked the tight end position. They've allowed 80.3% completion rate to the position. That's second highest in the league, and only Atlanta is worse. Six touchdowns, like big time upside. And if he maintains that volume that he's seen with Golden Tate being, or since Golden Tate's been in the doghouse, if that sustains this week and he gets 8+ targets against this defense, I think we could see something higher than the 5 catches he's logged the last 2 weeks. Gives him a great floor, access to a ceiling with touchdowns. Sometimes they try to get creative by giving him the ball on jet sweeps as well. So we have that we can add into his bag. So at 4,500, I think he's too cheap considering the matchup and the recent volume.
Yeah, Eagles, I don't think it's going to get any better either, because we knew coming into the season they had problems at safety and linebacker. Those guys end up covering tight ends all the time. It's not great. Not great, Bob, as they say.
Not great, Bob, as they say. A couple of tight ends we want to talk about here real quick. Austin Hooper taking on the Texans. Austin Hooper is pretty cheap this week. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you have to look and make sure that he's going to play. There's some injury stuff that we talked about, Stefania, with today on the show. Hunter Henry taking on the Dolphins. Mike, really quickly, just in case people didn't listen to the season-long show for the earlier show today, I want you to talk quickly about Hunter Henry, because we've been hopefully waiting for some regression to the mean with his touchdowns, because they just have not been there this year.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
We're going to take...
I need more opportunity for him near the goal line. He's been kind of lacking. I know he almost scored a touchdown last week, but the targets have been good. He's had 6 or 7 per game. He's a big part of the offense, and obviously they're putting, as we talked about with Herbert, the passing yards have been there, the passing touchdowns have been there. So I think it's just a matter of time before he has a big game, and you know, people are down on him right now. So again, and especially in a tournament setting, and I think he's viable in cash for sure at his price point, but especially in a tournament, he's one of them guys that out of nowhere could have 2 touchdowns, maybe has a random 3 touchdown game, and you're like, I should have seen that coming. This, you know, this Chargers offense has been so productive, and maybe this is the week playing Miami, because again, if they put their top 2 corners on Allen and Williams, the targets have to go somewhere. So I don't know. I just think I'm going to make sure I have 1 or 2 Hunter Henry tournament lineups as well. Ugh.
I love when I watch Mike Clay get excited, because it's like I get this little, you know, the lightning in my fingers.
One catch, 4 yards for sure.
Okay, all right. That's how it's going to be. One of the guys we like, Jordan Akins, taking on the Browns. Again, another super person cheap that you can put with Deshaun if you want to be able to do a stack there. So, all right. We're at the point of the show where we're going to give you our weekly lineups. Hopefully we can... right now, Mike is up on me 5-4. Mm-hmm. This week, though, I think I got you. So let's go with your lineup here for week 10.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with Justin Herbert at quarterback. No surprise there. Yep. And when I was working with this, Josh Allen was in that conversation as well. You have lots of options there.
All of this to say, again, like we talked about earlier in the show, there are a lot of running backs that are iffy on this slate. So these may change a little bit based on how injuries work out. But for right now.
And for now, I did consider Duke Johnson, by the way. I have him as a go here. I also took out Justin Jackson, right? So I made a couple tweaks for that. You can always see the latest projections at ESPN.com, and they kind of fuel our DFS tools at ESPN Plus, as well as what I end up doing for my lineup. So, yeah, Herbert at quarterback. The running backs I have right now are Aaron Jones, Antonio Gibson, and Mike Davis. Again, no surprise. We talked about all those guys, one of them in the flex, of course. Wide receivers, Keenan Allen and Stephon Diggs. I really want to get Davante Adams in, but I was pretty happy with how this worked out. Josh Reynolds as well. Talked about him as essentially a punt. Still get Darren Waller in here, which is surprising. I only really had to punt one spot because of the running back values, as we talked about. And then the Giants defense against interception machine Carson Wentz at defense.
Okay. Interception machine Carson Wentz, is that the name?
Yeah, he had 7 touchdowns every year of his career exactly, and he has like double that already this season. It's just so good. He just continues to turn the football over.
All right. My lineup is going to look different than what's on your sheet, Mike Clay.
All right, good.
Deshaun Watson is my quarterback this week.
All right, like it.
Mike Davis, and I have Duke Johnson currently lined up, understanding that I'm monitoring that situation with David Johnson. If David Johnson does in fact play, I will tweak some things here, but I love Duke Johnson at that $5,000 price point based on what Al pointed out earlier on in the show. My wide receivers are Will Fuller, Keenan Allen, and Robert Woods.
Okay.
My tight end is Darren Waller. My running back is Aaron Gibson.
And my defense is
the Rams. Taking on Rams? Seattle.
Yeah, so see, I It's tempting because they're so cheap. Are they
$2,200? Oh, yeah. And I understand. You know, listen, you get to a point, and you guys can tell me if I'm wrong here. I get to a point where I'm at my lineup, and it's like, where is it that I feel like is the lowest number of points that is probably going to be scored, and that's the position that I'm just going to do last. Mm. So, you know, defenses, I try to fill it in, and you do the best you can. Like, you know, the Rams have taken advantage of a couple of defenses. You get a turnover here or there, you know.
Yeah, and the Seahawks made some mistakes last week against Buffalo. They still ended up putting four touchdowns on the board,
but
I think Wilson got picked off twice, if I'm not mistaken. So it's not crazy to think they could be serviceable, but all right, I got you.
All right.
I mean, I don't want to go over, but like, I do want to say something about the Rams defense.
Bring it.
And it's sharp that you played the Rams defense at the price that they're at, Daniel, because people pay way too much attention to the amount of points that a defense could possibly give up in DFS, and they ignore the thing that really matters. Defensive scoring happens, for the most part, when opponents drop back. Russell Wilson drops back an awful lot. So that's where your interceptions come from. That's where your sacks come from. That's where your strip sacks come from and get your fat man touchdown going the other direction. So you want teams that drop back a lot, as opposed to, you remember like when Mitch Trubisky was a rookie and the Bears weren't scoring any points, but they were only passing the ball like 12 times a game. Mm-hmm. Playing the defense against the Bears that year was probably a bad idea because there weren't as many scoring opportunities for your defense, so you didn't give yourself a chance for upside. So playing against Seattle, a really good spot here for the Rams D.
I love it.
At least theoretically in a tournament.
Theoretically, yeah.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, Al. I just pointed out he got picked off, I think, twice last week. But at the same time, it is, of all teams that drop back a lot that you would still maybe want to avoid, probably this historic pace the Seahawks are on. Just saying, you know what I mean? Like, just because four touchdowns, I think it's every game this season. I think they scored
four touchdowns every
single game offensively.
They're absurd.
Which is just insane. It's insane. You pretty much just have to accept. It's not like, maybe I'll give up a lot of points. You're like, I have to accept I'm going to give up 35 points.
Yes.
This game, I have to make up for.
I'm looking for turnovers. Maybe an interception return for a touchdown or a fumble or a block kick for a touchdown.
Maybe Aaron Donald causes some problems.
Yes. Or another touchdown. I mentioned defensive touchdowns. They're real big on DraftKings, so I would love to get one of those from the Rams.
All right.
Al, why don't you give me one of your tournament lineups this week?
All right, so I'm focused on correlation with this one. I've got Jared Goff to Cooper Kupp, and I'm bringing it back with Tyler Lockett. That's the primary stack and bring back that we're going with. I have Aaron Jones and Mike Davis at running back. I'm going with Keenan Allen because I just go with Keenan Allen every week because he gets me 12 targets every week, and he's priced way too cheap, $1,900 less than Devontae Adams for basically the same volume. And then I've got Austin Hooper for now with Duke Johnson for now as my secondary stack in this lineup, playing against one another and the Saints D at 3K.
Yeah, it sounds a lot like my lineup, if we're being honest here.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
That's weird. Al's lineup sounded good.
Hey! Well, that was a compliment because it sounds like my lineup.
No, Mike.
Yeah, no.
Come on, man.
If it's the same as mine, then it has to be. Okay, anyway.
Whatever.
Let's talk Showdown Captain for tonight.
Yeah, bring it.
If you are listening to this,
please tell
Thursday.
Me you're not going
to
start your Showdown Captain lineup with Noodle Arm Phillip Rivers.
I'm going to start it with Noodle Arm Phillip Rivers.
No!
As the captain. Hey, he's been throwing touchdowns lately. I'm going to stack him up here with Michael Pittman. We went with both kickers in this game, which finding cash, don't really love that necessarily. But and then Ryan Tannehill gives you a high floor. You get the quarterback in there in cash. You always want both quarterbacks in cash with very few exceptions. And of course, speaking of high floors, Derrick Henry in there as well.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Man, guys, I love doing this with you every week. I cannot believe it is week 10 already.
Yeah.
It does not feel like we've done 10 of these and we only have a handful more to go. But thankfully, we're going to continue on throughout the end of the season.
Yeah.
Even once the regular season is done, obviously.
We're only
the playoffs,
like halfway home. Right? Yeah.
We're going to keep on rolling for you guys. Thank you so much for everything that you guys have done. We love being able to hear from you guys. Anytime you get, you know, big wins, anytime you listen to us and things like it's no one is more excited than we are for you guys because we love being able to help out. We love being able to be here to do this for everybody. So please, if you have a good week, shoot it to us. Send us a DM. Just tag us on Twitter at Daniel Dopp, at Al Zeidenfeld, and at Mike Clay NFL.
Yeah, and by the way, a lot of people always tweet at us and say, hey, how do I get into that league that you say, you know, free to enter, we can win $200. We always tweet it out, right? Actually, I don't know if you do.
Mike always
tweets
it out.
But at least I always tweet it out. So at Mike Clay NFL, I search for whatever lineup and my handle or something. It's always going to be on my timeline. So we'll get the link out there and you can join up and participate.
Hopefully bring
Mike's
home a little bit
of cash. Responsible tweeter of the three of us. I just tweet
absolutely
big alligator pictures.
Yep, it's fortunate. MVP. It's
I've been. I'm a low this year. I've been a low volume tweeter this year. 2020 has not been a year that I'm like, you know what? I want to spend a ton of time on Twitter. So I just have been a low volume tweeter.
Well, I want to see you more committed to the show, Daniel Dot.
Oh wow.
On Twitter,
I just got called out.
You did. I might have called you out. I want to see a tweet this week.
Wow. All right, deal.
That's your homework.
You'll see it,
friend.
You'll see it. Thank you guys again for listening and for hanging out with us. Please continue to be good to each other. Love each other. Call somebody you haven't talked to in a while. Someone that you know. Would appreciate hearing from you. It's always great to be able to hear when someone, you know, when you get a phone call and be like, hey, you know what? I was thinking about you. Remember that time we went to go do that thing? Man, that was fun. I just call somebody. You'll make their day. And right now we could use a little bit more of that in this world. So for Mike, for Al, my name is Daniel. Thank you to Kyle for all the stats and everything he does for the show. And make sure to love each other. We'll see you guys next week.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.